Thanks for listening to The Gathering from Storyline Church. We wrapped up our series on questions God asks us by looking at questions from Storyliners shared during that week and shared during The Gathering, live and anonymously, about God, faith, church, and Storyline. In addition, Mike Cook performed a couple songs for us. Let's have a listen. Let's see how this goes. Okay. No clapping for us
test.
Walk on and say thank you so much,
one,
Alec.
Two. Test.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
I think so. What are you wearing?
Oh, this old thing? I didn't realize I had this.
There's
on.
A glare on the stage that I didn't notice before.
This is. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I had this on. Still, it's the. The old man basketball championship ring that we won yesterday. I don't want to make a big deal about it. It's not a, if it's going to be distracting, I'll just wear it.
Is it a half court game?
Half court. Quarter court.
Right. About, 66
about
half
five
court.
5 minutes in, it's half court, yes, right. For some people like me.
Anyway. Very good. Now,
Did you? Is it true you got a technical foul? That's the rumor yesterday.
I know. I admitted that one morning here. I got a technical foul.
Okay. Okay. That's good that you're willing to admit that.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the gathering. We're going to give this a shot.
Yes. I
should have my phone out, as that's where the questions are coming
in.
We released this form, the survey, earlier in the week, and we got a number of questions throughout the week. And so our first one, as more come in, is from one of our youngest storyliners, and it's...
Before we take that one, can I just say...
Right, we're already going off course here.
No, we're right out of the gate.
We're pivoting.
I just want to say that, first of all, I'm super uncomfortable doing this. And also, this isn't about questions and answers. It's questions and responses on purpose. There's no, Paul might be an expert, but I am not. We're just wondering together. And the whole idea this morning is hopefully to really address some questions that we have about God, faith, church, storyline, and to start discussions, not to end them. And so, anytime you are talking about God, you're talking about something, someone that is so far beyond us that I think, a humility is an absolute necessity, obviously. And so I'm really hoping that we can keep that frame on the entire morning with every question and with every tentative response that you're going to hear. So appreciate all the questions that came in during the week. And the folks that are texting those in right now, and we're going to try to get to as many as we can. So thanks.
That's why you wore the ring.
That's why.
Humility.
Yes.
That's a good start.
Thank you, Paul.
A question that came in from one of our younger storyliners, from somebody from Kidport.
Okay.
They asked, these are always the dangerous questions.
Yes.
Who's in charge here?
Oh, yeah.
Which is a question I have as well. I'll just...
Oh, that's great. Did they give me options? What was their multiple choice? What did they say?
No, they didn't. Jesus is one of the responses, but that's because they're coming from Sunday school. That's the response.
That's great. Storyline is a community that is led by a council. Some churches call it an elder board. We have a council, we call it, and that they are the ones, they're the bottom lines. The council makes, we have a council president, and then 9 other folks on that council. I'm one of those folks, and we meet at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, depending, and that is where all the big decisions are made for storyline, and the direction is set, and things like that. And that's been that way since the beginning. It's been a council-led versus some churches are led by the lead pastor or things like that, but we are not. We're led by a council.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're not in charge.
I'm not
in charge.
No.
Heather's not in charge.
No. Jen is the closest to
Jen one might person. Be the closest
right.
to being
yes.
in charge. So if you've,
especially
if you
ask
yes,
her.
Thank you.
Yes,
there you go. That's
yes.
right.
And that would be a good decision, by the way, yes.
So Storyline started this experiment 20 years ago, and I think that's been the model ongoing, that the council would lead us, that there would be
pretty
a group
much.
Of volunteers that were leading us in the decisions that we make as a church, and that has produced this gathering, right?
Right.
And as one, and this is kind of one of the 3 big pillars that make up Storyline between mm-hmm. impact and community life and the gathering.
Right.
Can you talk more about like how this gathering has shaped into what it's looked like and why we chose to do certain things, like why we don't do worship or why we don't have members, things like that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of this has been a discovery process. And so really Storyline started as a mission, as a dream, a small group of folks who, a lot of us were associated with Young Life, not everybody, but we're really, this is back even in the late 90s, the early, very early 2000s, a small group of folks were getting together and praying and thinking about what is needed or necessary or missing from the local church experience. And one of the things that we looked at is that we were seeing a lot of young people discover faith in the gospel of grace through Young Life. And then Young Life really stopped when people graduated from high school. And so we decided that maybe God is inviting us to start a community where we are trying to create a culturally relevant event in a public space where people would feel very welcome, very much like it's easy to come to, and where we could then try to cultivate an environment where we can bring the gospel of grace next to things that people already know, love, and enjoy. Dance, music, movies, television, artwork, things like that. And so there's a lot of work being done on that as far as how people change, how movements are started. And sometimes it's called aesthetic enchantment, the aesthetic power. There's a brand new book called by Sarah Lewis coming out from Harvard Press now. And she writes about things unseen. And the idea is that when she looks back throughout history and says everything from the Reformation to the Civil Rights Movement were deeply impacted, and the life of Jesus actually in his ministry, deeply informed and impacted by the power of beauty. And so with Jesus, it would have been parables mostly that he used that essentially, in her words, enchanted people and gave people a vision for how different the world could be from the world that they inherited. And so throughout history, one of the things that we see is when there are big changes, often there are communities, groups, communities, societies that are caught up into a new vision for the future. And so that's a little bit about kind of where we're coming out of, I think.
Yeah. So using the aesthetic, using pieces of modern culture, modern art, stuff that all people might be familiar with, regardless of the walk of life, they're coming into this space. There's something we're trying to create here. There's a barrier that we want to be removed, all to kind of feed this great kind of, what would you call it, tagline that we've used over and over, this idea that we belong before we believe.
Right.
Right. This sense of that we want to create a place where all folks are radically included.
Right.
Before they believe, regardless what they believe.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that it puts a lot of emphasis on grace.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
What does faith look like in that? Why does faith even matter if it's the belonging that we're trying to create? Yep.
Well, I think that faith is, and we've talked about this recently again, and it's stuff we talk about a lot. In fact, I know that one of the questions that we got this week is, why do I need faith at all if God is a God of grace? And there's some deep theological perspectives on that. One would be that there's different kinds of grace. So for example, people who have no faith at all, the sun still rises on them, the rain still falls on them. Theologically, they would call that common grace. This is grace that every morning you wake up, there's air to breathe and water to drink. But the faith that God is inviting us into is a faith that's our free response to his love for us. And, you know, there are some things that the reason that God invites us to live by faith is because the nature of love is such that we have to have a choice. In other words, if God created us, I remember I had a student years ago, Rob Kanigi, brilliant, still a very good friend of mine, asked me the question. He said, "Gee, if the whole point is us being with God, why doesn't he just create beings that are already with him, like in heaven? Like just skip the whole material universe, the earth, on all of this, like what is this for?" And as best as I can figure it, and I think that this is true for what we see throughout history as people have wondered about that question, it's because of the nature of love itself. And that is, we have to have a choice. We have to cooperate. We have to be given that choice to cooperate with God's grace, to respond to it freely. And that is really what faith is. Faith is saying, "God, I trust you that you're good and you're good for me. And I am going to follow you in the ways that you have, best as I can understand, laid out." I'll give you one of my favorite examples from this comes from, you guys know I teach history, and so this is one of my favorite examples of this. In World War II, some football people might know this, that the islands of Samoa in the Pacific have actually produced a lot of NFL football players. And you're like, well, how in the world can that be? Paul's wondering, where in the heck is he going with this? So here's what happened.
I trust you.
American pilots flew over the islands of Samoa in World War II. They saw children on the beaches of Samoa, and they thought, wouldn't this be great if we're going to drop some recreational activities down to them out of the plane? So they flew real low, and they dropped just hundreds of footballs on the beaches of Samoa. And these kids, they got the footballs, and then the next time they flew over, they're like, this is going to be so fun to watch these kids playing football. And of course, they were like using them as flotation devices. They were, you know, building pyramids with them. They were trying to kick them around like soccer balls, and of course, they wouldn't go in a straight line. And that's when it dawned on them that this gift that they had been given of these footballs, these kids could take them and use them and enjoy them. But until they knew the best, what they were made for, it was difficult for them to get the most out of that gift. And in a lot of ways, I think that's what the life of faith is about. It's understanding that God has dropped this gift of life upon us. But with that, he's saying, I also know what it's for. I also know the best way to live, where you'll get the most out of it and give the most to it. But that requires you trusting me and not using it as a flotation device or building pyramids, but there are rules, there are guidelines. And when you use it in that way, you'll actually be the most fulfilled. And so I think that the Samoan kids who, let's say a pilot parachuted down, like Jesus, and said, hey, this is how to do it. The Samoan kids that listened, followed that instruction, ended up being the ones that enjoyed football even more. But that doesn't mean that, you know, the gift of life itself on your own, doing it your own way, can't also be enjoyable. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing now today, is that a lot of people are going to a point, I'm just going to play my way. I'm going to do it my way.
It sounds like my six-year-old.
Right, yes. And that can work for long periods of time. That can work. And I think, but one of the things that we're trying to explore is, how long can that work? How well? And is there a better way to live? And one of the questions we're, I think, asking together and exploring together is, could it be that a daily trust in the goodness of God, giving our faith to God in that sense, begins to align us with what life is for and the best way to live?
Yeah, I guess the question I have is, what if I never throw the football the right way? Right? Like, what if I never pick it up and throw it? Despite, you know, what if I need it as a flotation device?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. I think one of the reasons that we are open-ended about what that looks like for you, you know, there've been movements in the past that get very specific about what does it look like to live in and live out the grace of God? What does it look like to live by faith? And, you know, I'm no shade on those folks. That has worked for a lot of people for long periods of time. But I think as the world becomes more interconnected and more people see more and more different ways to live, the natural question is to ask, well, why can't the life of faith look like that or look like this or look like this? And I think Storyline is a community that is basically saying, we're trying to leave the details of that up to one another as we explore what that looks like for folks. So without getting too exclusive or like, this is the only way to play football, if you will. Now, for example, and I apologize if you're not a football person, there's a lot of different ways to play football. There's the hurry-up offense, the two-minute offense. You can run it every time. You can pass it every time. And I think that's what we are. We're part of that movement that is going, in this day and age, it might be time to open up the playbook on what it looks like to play a flourishing game of football.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard you say before, Mike, that God didn't make us as pets. He made us as people.
Right.
And those are two very distinct things, right? Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about our dog, my brother got a dog recently and they had to send him away to boarding school in order to improve his
Your
behavior.
Or the,
The dog, not my brother. Right. I'm sure Audrey would love to do that.
Right.
Send him away to boarding school. But it's so interesting that we, when it comes to this dog, the conversation we're having is like, we want all these dogs to act the same way. We want them to respond to the prompts the same way. When we say sit, we want this whole group of dogs to sit down. When we say lay down, we're the same. When we say come, same thing, right? As people, we all are going to have very different reactions when somebody just says sit, right? That spurs something very, very different in all of us. And I think that's exactly because God, when he came to the creation of all of us and what we were to become, he realized that in order for love to exist, it could not be forced upon us, right? There had to be a choice, and a recognition to to that kind of that great storyline, that second storyline tagline of there's nothing you can do to get God on your side because he's already on your side.
Right.
But that does bring us to a place of, man, there really does feel like there needs to be a conscience response here.
Right.
And how do we make sense of that in a total unconditional, there's nothing you can do to get God on your side yet.
Right.
We can't get there unless we throw the football the right way.
Yeah, it's a difficult issue. I think the closest that I can get to it is, as a parent, I started to realize this with my children. It's like I wanted my children to grow up and I wanted them to be safe, but I also wanted them to be good, and that at some point that line gets blurred. In other words, I expose them to more and more risk as they get older, because the only way for them to truly flourish, I had to give them the freedom to also, we're not gonna play just t-ball. At some point, I'm going to put you in a batter's box, and I'm going to let another 8-year-old throw a ball at you. And that's risky, but that's the only way for you to get the most out of this game. And I think that is what, that's, you know, we've talked about this before, that we want to think that God doesn't have any problems, but God, there are problems that God has, and this is one of God's problems, is like, he loves us, he wants to protect us, but he has to, in a sense, set us free to be able to make the choice to, are we going to try to be on his side, I guess is the way to put it. Now, he's not going to change, but part of the offer is it's this invitation to follow. And it's open to anyone, but God is moving in a certain direction and going a certain way. It's this way of love and grace and inclusion and acceptance. And, you know, there are folks that have said no to storyline because we don't exclude certain people.
Sure.
And so, you know, they're just like, well, then we're not going to come if you're not going to exclude those people. And I'm like, that's fine, but I want you to know you're still invited, but you're really excluding us, you know, so.
And when I'm just thinking about all the times, like, I ask Bo to do something and he just doesn't.
Right.
Right. And
yes,
it's like,
he's six.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes. He's six. And you
you're
know, everything 30, from putting
36,
from yes. putting your seatbelt on 35.
Right. Okay.
It's an important distinction.
You got a year. Yes. Left.
Thank you.
Still
for that
training.
Reminder. But this desire, I just want to do things my way. And I think even more than the not doing it the way that I asked him to, it's that trust gap that I haven't earned yet with him. For it's not that I don't want him to do it his way, right? I want him to trust in me that he's never done this before, and to trust somebody who's gone out before. Right. And then I think that's what breaks my heart, right? As his father, of like, not that you didn't do it the right way, or that you failed, or that you spilled the chocolate milk all over the couch again. It's just that.
For example.
I know that you know how to do this,
mm-hmm.
and you're choosing not to.
Right.
And I think that's what hurts the most. And right. One of the questions we got this week was about how does God respond in that same type of relational dynamic? And so we chose a song this week that we thought really addressed that question, is does right. God grieve? Does God suffer? When God looks at us the way that he does, and he sees us saying, no, I just want to do it my way,
right?
Right? How does he respond? Right. And so as we transition to that kind of the conversation, I want to invite Ellen and Mike to share a song with us.
Great. Yeah. And just as they get set up, I think that God is in that same situation that you're in, and to start to respond to that, which is, it's one thing to make Bo do it the way you want him to do it so he doesn't make a mistake, but that leaves him unchanged. And that is the problem. You want Bo to want to do it the right way for his sake, and because it leads to his flourishing, not to please or appease you or to keep you from excluding him, because that's a form of manipulation. That's a form of you really just using your power to hold him hostage in a way. And I think that's antithetical to really what the nature of grace is. And so to be a gracious father, you have to lay out, this is the best way to drink chocolate milk or not at all on the couch, and give him the option to choose to live that way or not.
There's a jersey on the wall in a high school gym in my hometown, in a corner by the scoreboard where the bleacher seats fold down. 27 took the Tigers to the finals that year, but that's not why it's hanging there. If I ever get to heaven, I've got a long list of questions, like how do you make a snowflake? Are you angry when the earth shakes? How does the sky change in a minute? How do you keep this big rock spinning? Why can't you stop a car from crashing? Forgive me, I'm just asking. I bet somewhere there's a yearbook in a box under a bed with a senior picture missing, loving memory instead. And somewhere there's a mother who stopped going to church, 'cause your plan quit making sense here on earth. If I ever get to heaven, I've got a long list of questions, like how do you make a snowflake? Are you angry when the earth quakes? How does the sky change in a, how do you keep this big rock spinning? Why can't you stop a car from crashing? Forgive me, I'm just asking. I'm just saying. You don't have to answer now, but someday. If I ever get to heaven, I've got a long list of questions, like how do you make a snowflake? Are you angry when the earth quakes? How does the sky change in a minute? How do you keep this big rock spinning? Why can't you stop a car from crashing? Forgive me, I'm just asking.
Thank you, thank you.
What a song. What a song.
Thanks.
Friends, I do want to just say real quick, as I'm staring at my phone here, like a good millennial.
Blowing up. Yep. Look at you.
I am trying to address as many questions as we can, and so sometimes I might reword a question in a way that's following up. That might not be exactly how it is here. I hope you'll hear that, and I'm trying to address
sure.
all the different themes and things that are coming out, but just kind of a heads up on that. So, okay. but back to this. So this idea,
yeah.
you know, I'm just asking, right? The story of this jersey on this wall,
right.
this kid who's in a
right.
car accident.
Right.
God, why couldn't you stop that car from crashing? What is yeah. God's heart doing in that moment
yeah,
when that
yeah,
kind of
the,
stuff happens?
Yeah, the issue of human suffering, this is obviously something we all think about a lot. It's a ton of the times that I get to spend with Storyline are around like why did this happen, why would God allow this, and you know there's no easy answer, but I think it goes back to this general direction that God can't make us both safe and good. He can't make us both safe and good. I think one of the stories I've told in the past is Jenna, 4 years old, riding her bike in the driveway in a tight circle, and she crashes on the driveway, and I run out there and pick her up, and she's sobbing, and she says to me, "Dad, Daddy, Dad, Daddy, why do they make driveways so hard?" And there's no way I could explain to her why they make driveways so hard, although there's a good answer to that, right? But if you're going to make driveways hard, the consequence, for good reasons, the consequence of that is that when you fall, you're going to skin your knee. God, my read of what the Bible is teaching us about where does evil and suffering come from is that when God chose to create in order to give something to us, what he's trying to give to us is love. And love we must be free to respond to love. And this is, I'll borrow from Tolkien on this. He calls evil and suffering the shadow. And a shadow can only be cast when there's a light source. And sometimes that shadow will fall on us, no fault of our own. Sometimes we walk into the shadow on purpose because maybe we don't want to be seen. And so we bring on suffering on ourselves. And sometimes we cast a shadow. But for this to be a universe where love is actually possible, it has to be a universe where suffering and even evil are also possible. Because if you take that away, C.S. Lewis put it this way, if you make a world of that's automatic, that's just automatically good, it's not a world worth making. Because God wanted people, not pets. Like parents want children and not robots. And so that's the wager of love, the risk of love that God takes. And I think that's the general direction of where suffering and evil manifest in the world.
So one question we got that I do want to address almost word for word, as I think it points to this very moment. I had a strong relationship with God before addiction took over my life. In sobriety, I've had a difficult time finding that relationship again. His presence is elusive. How do I find him again?
That's a great question. I think one of the things I would say, and especially I've learned this from the 12-step recovery, is that it's difficult to do on your own, that life is a team sport, and that finding God by yourself all alone, as if it's up to us to find God, is really, really difficult. And one of the reasons that we are always trying to figure out ways to cultivate environments where people sit side by side or sit face to face or sit in circles or serve together is because oftentimes God comes to us in the form of other people and in the opportunity to love other people with other people. And I that would be the practical place that I would suggest is, again, in AA, they've got this great line, just do the next right thing. And sometimes I think that religion has kind of sold us an image that to be right with God looks a certain way and feels a certain way. And one of the things that I'm so thankful for about the Bible, the life of Jesus, and specifically the life of the disciples, is the disciples are held up as these guys who started the faith, this worldwide faith, and they did. And they were a bunch of ding-a-lings, really. I mean, we would not see these guys in their real everyday life and think, wow, spiritual master. They were just a group of real regular people. And I think over time, we have started to conceive of saints as people who have some kind of connection with God, you know, like this direct line to God that I'm not sure is realistic. So one of the reasons we do a Sunday here every year called Saints Among Us, like where we want to hold up and celebrate real, regular, everyday people who just over the course of life continue to do the next right thing, and how that makes such a massive difference in the lives of other people. And how, if those saints among us, often the saints that are celebrated, a storyliner will come up here and talk about the saint and their life, and that person might be someone that doesn't have any faith at all. And it's changed people's lives, some of these saints that are invited to hear somebody celebrate them. And they didn't even realize that they were living out the grace of God in such a way that it impacted people. And one of the hopes, I think, of Storyline is to help all of us connect the life that we have, the life we've been given, the life that we choose, connect that with what it looks like for us to serve God. And to not feel like it has to be look more holy or look more spiritual. It's really about us connecting the life we have, the life we've been given, the life we've chosen, to what it looks like to love and serve God.
The hard part about that is that people are really complicated and messy.
Right. Yes.
And relationships are really, really hard. And you can't purchase them for sale on Amazon.com,
right?
Like it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of disappointment. And sometimes it requires forgiveness that you don't want to give.
Right.
It requires giving grace, living out grace that maybe you don't want to live. What is like a tangible example of what that process of living, not necessarily living in, but living out the grace of God? Like, how does that flow into us and then out of us? Like, when you talk about that flow of the in and out of the grace of God, that requires other people. And
yes.
People are hard and messy, and we want to
Correct.
Put up boundaries and barriers.
Right.
I want less people.
I think one of the things that we've seen in Storyline, we've recovered after the pandemic, like, amazingly. A lot of churches didn't, and thank God that, I mean, we bounced back. But one of the things that hasn't bounced back for us is community life. Heather Ring, who gave the announcements this morning, is kind of leading that charge for us. And we're trying to figure out how to help more people more often get together face to face. Because truly, I think if Jesus is holding out anything about what it looks like to flourish in life, it is about living purposefully in community. And finding yourself in a common cause with other people. And that's really, really hard in a world where we all have the world in our pocket on our phone, or we can hit next episode. Those are really quick hits of dopamine. They're easy, they're comfortable, they keep us busy, they keep us occupied. And community is really difficult for lots of reasons. I have to get up off my couch. I have to leave my hobbit hole. I have to go to somebody else's house. I have to miss the football game. I have to deal with somebody that I like, but not a lot. And, you know, it's like, rubs me the wrong way
mutual,
or whatever.
It's
and
mutual.
So, but in the long run, it's what deepens life and creates a flourishing life, just like, you know, our physical bodies. We know that you just can't work out once a week or once a year, or like, oh, my physical's coming up, I'm going to work out every day for 5 days. It's every day. It's purposely living that way. That's why we're so careful. You don't hear me use the word Christianity very often. you don't hear me, if I use the word religion, it's not favorable, if maybe you've noticed. It's like what we're trying to investigate and wonder about and explore together is a way of living, like a decided way of living. And that means every day, not just Sunday. That means all decisions, every aspect of life. I'm going to try to live in the grace of God. If God's on my side, if he's protecting me and providing for me, then I don't have to win this argument. I don't have to get this raise. I don't have to have this promotion. I don't have to make sure this relationship works my way. Now, I one of the ways we've talked about it is I don't enter into every day needing something from it. When we're connected with God's grace, we actually enter into every day the opposite, where we enter into every day going, okay, what does God want to offer to the world, to others through me? And now that's become the best thing for me. It's no longer winning or getting or keeping. It's loving and serving and giving. The best example, honestly, is Jesus himself. And I was talking about this actually in my philosophy class last week at Lakeshore, and we were talking about Christian theism, this worldview that there's a God and he's good and he's good for you. And what's the differentiator between it and other worldviews? And there's this unbelievable verse in Hebrews where it says that Jesus went to the cross. This is the hardest, most loving, most self-sacrificial thing in human history, that he went to the cross for the joy set before him. In other words, was it hard? Yes. Was it sacrificial? Yes. Was living out God's grace there cost him everything? Yes. Was it the best thing for him? Yes. It was. And that's just so hard for us to wrap our minds around. But for Jesus, it was also the best thing for him, given the options available.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the surrender of faith, is recognizing that even though I've got this football, and for me, it's a great pillow, when the creator who made the football and made me shows up to say, hey, you know what's even better? If you go 11 on 11, and then you draw a line of scrimmage, and then you, like, to trust to trust the coach with, you know better than I do how to use this gift of life.
Or even to make it less complicated at that, like, hey, what if you took that pillow and you threw it to them over there?
Yeah.
And then they threw it back.
Right.
And then you threw it back to them. Like what could that bring?
Right.
And I think when I hear this question about how do I find him again?
Right.
Right. That when we come back to how do I sense his presence? It's almost in the absence that his presence is even more felt. It's in the void that we recognize that he is.
Something's missing.
Something's missing.
And why do I have that feeling?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It's the absence that illuminates
There's
his
one
presence.
Writer that,
right? A football doesn't make sense unless there's somebody else to throw it with.
Yeah. There's one writer that he's got a great line. He says, a sense of his absence is a sign of his presence. That only somebody who is connected to God would have the feeling of, I don't really feel connected to God. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's like oxygen.
That way.
Right? We only notice it when it's not there.
Right, yeah.
Right?
That's great.
We have a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go into a little bit of a lightning round
here with some
questions.
Oh, boy.
The first question is a hard-hitting one.
Okay.
What is your, or which Tolkien character do you most relate with?
Gosh, I love them all, obviously, but I think that Samwise Gamgee's the hero of that story. I don't want to give it away, but hobbits are the lowest of all people in Middle Earth. And then the one who's selected to serve and sacrifice is Frodo, and then it's his servant, Samwise Gamgee, that at the very end of the story, when Frodo has sacrificed everything, and can't take another step forward. Talk about living in and living out the grace of God. In a line that caused me to bawl out loud in the movie theater. Like, people are like, what is wrong with this guy? Frodo falls down. He steps away from Mount Doom, and Frodo says, I can't go any further. And Sam says, I know I can't carry this ring because that's your role in this life, but I can carry you. And he...
I always
he picks up Frodo, who's carrying the ring, and he carries Frodo, and that's how they finish. And so for me, the answer is Sam.
See, I went right to that scene where Merry and Pippin are asking Aragorn about, what about second breakfast?
Second breakfast.
That's where I go.
Elevensies. Right. Yeah, right.
For those that aren't nerds, J.R.R. Tolkien wrote a trilogy of novels in the 1950s called The Lord of the Rings, and that is where
we're
at.
They've never heard of this. Yeah, yes.
You know, okay, who is your favorite band?
Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty. I love John Mellencamp. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah. I wish we did them every week.
Yeah.
Mike's a little stuck up on John Mellencamp, but...
We did not get to everything here.
I know.
And I'm really bummed. There's a question in here about how do we know when to take the Bible literally?
Oh, man.
And we only have... We only have 1 minute. We cannot answer that question in 1 minute.
Jill did a fantastic talk about that, not too long ago, about, I think the line she used, which I thought was brilliant, is that to take the Bible literally everywhere isn't taking the Bible seriously. And to take the Bible seriously means that you read it in the way it's asking us to read it. And sometimes that's history. Sometimes it's poetic. Sometimes it's more like liturgical, sometimes it's more, and so to kind of understand the context, but that's a great talk I would refer people to, if that's a great question.
Yeah.
How many, we did not get to a bunch, I know.
Yeah, we got to a lot.
Okay.
We did okay. They might not think so, I feel great.
You feel great about
it? I feel
nice
awesome
job.
About Baseball. The effort that I put in.
I would let you wear my ring when with this.
That'd be awesome. No, there's some really good questions about the Trinity, and about the Bible, and about boundaries. And about, you know,
what else?
What's the plan for storyline when Mike Rathright is done in his role?
So
we should pray now.
Right.
At that question.
Hey, nope. I want to thank everybody. I know that this is the third time we've tried this in 20 years. So about 7 years from now, we might do it again. But I really appreciate, we really appreciate you guys sending these questions in. Please know that this is what I love to do, and I know Paul loves this too, so if we didn't get to something you asked, and we would please email us or text us. We would love to hang out and chat about that. And really, I think more than anything, what I hope this morning represents is that we want to be a community where questions are okay, where wondering is okay, where it's okay to say, I don't know, or this is hard, or I don't know what to do next. And I really believe that is what the life of faith looks like. It's much more about wondering together than it is about having a set answers that somehow please or appease God. And so really more than anything, that's what this is about, more than the actual responses this morning. Please forgive us if we didn't get to one of your questions. I'm going to go ahead and say this. How long is that link going to be up and running?
It doesn't have to come down.
Okay. So we'll leave that up for a day or two. And of course, the only chance we will have to respond to it is if you attach your name to it somehow. But if we see questions like that come in and you attach your name to it, if that's easiest for you, then I will get back to you. And I would love to chat with you about any of those things and hear what you think about any of those things. So thank you so much for being here this morning. Storyline is really God's dream. It's God's dream that he's given us. And I'm still amazed and so enthralled by the fact that 20 years in, it's still happening. And that's because it really truly is a community-driven mission and dream. So thank you so much for all that all of you do. And just so grateful to be able to do this together. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for this time in this place, for this opportunity to be together. Thank you that you are a God who asks us questions and encourages us to think deeply and honestly about life and the hard parts and the hard pieces of life, and that even Jesus asked really hard questions in really difficult situations. And you tell us in your word that his faith was perfect. And so questions are allowed, doubts are allowed, wondering is allowed, and it can go along just fine with the life of faith. And so I pray that you would help us to realize that, and rejoice in that, and to help one another with that. Really spur us on to find ways to connect with one another and do this thing that the gift of life together, it really is a team sport. And I pray that as we leave here this morning, you would help us to grow and remain open, alert, expectant, and dependent on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, folks. Appreciate it. Thank you, thank you.
Remember, next week we will be gathering out in the community. We will not be here at 10:30, so get signed up for Impact, and we'll see you out and about next Sunday at 10:30.
Thank you for listening to The Gathering from Storyline Church. Have a blessed week.